Homeward is committed to partnering with parents and equipping you with the resources you need to raise your kids to become responsible adults. And Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, is proud to partner with Homeward to bring you the following podcast presentation.
You need these more than I do.
What is these?
Prayer beads. The kids made them for me. They will keep you safe.
Oh, yeah. I'm a believer.
I'm relieved. That's great.
I mean, it's great.
Yeah, that's good.
I'm Jim Burns. Well, there are lots of distractions in the world today, believe me, with radio, television, stereos, iPods, instant messaging, computers, and cell phones, and the list goes on. Well, it can be hard for us to hear the voice of God speaking to us. And yet, this is one of the most important things we can do. Well, you know, hearing God's voice is not simply for biblical times or Bible scholars. While he may not appear to you in the form of a burning bush or send an angel to give you verbal direction, God is still speaking to you every day. And it's our job to be listening to hear him when he speaks. Today on Homeward, I'm going to talk with a woman who can help you recognize when God speaks to you. Her name is Priscilla Shire. She is the daughter of Pastor Tony Evans and co-founder of Going Beyond Ministries. And she has learned quite a bit about listening for God's voice amidst the busyness of life. You're not going to want to miss this. We're going to learn some practical tools for recognizing when God speaks to you today on Homeward. So stay with us. From the studios at the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University, welcome to Homeward with parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns. I'm Roger Marsh. Is God speaking to you and telling you that he would like you to continue your studies? Perhaps you're looking to complete a degree that you started many, many years ago. Azusa Pacific University has an outstanding Bachelor of Science in Organizational Leadership program. Just started the program myself and highly recommend it. If you'd like to learn more about this program, you can go to homeward.com, go to apu.edu, and just follow the prompts. And it's a great program to be a part of. It's distance learning, too, so wherever you're listening to, you can complete your coursework online. Today and during the next half hour, you're going to hear a program about recognizing when God speaks to you. And now, without further ado, here is part one of today's conversation with Dr. Jim Burns and author Priscilla Shire. Welcome to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns. Today is going to be a special day. We're actually going to do something a little different. We're going to talk about recognizing when God speaks to you. You know, do you ever feel that the ability to hear God's voice is for other people or in biblical times? It's hard to hear and discern God's voice. Well, we're going to talk about that. It affects your spiritual life. It also affects your family's spiritual life. Priscilla Shire is with us. She's a nationally known and sought-after Bible teacher, has a master's degree in biblical studies from Dallas Theological Seminary, married to her husband, Jerry, who is here in studio with us. They live in the Dallas area, and they live in the Dallas area with their young sons. Welcome to our program.
Thank you for having us.
Well, it's great to be with you. You've written a great new book called Discerning the Voice of God, How to Recognize When God Speaks. I read your book, and I loved it, and it was very helpful spiritually. The thing that I also kept thinking about was some of the latest movies where, you know, we have these movies where God speaks, and it doesn't seem like the kind of God we know. At the same time, I think there have been times in my life when I remember one time when I said, God, who should I marry? Show me. I'd just become a Christian. And I got this picture of this girl I knew in junior high. And I went, oh, God, please, no. Not because she wasn't a great person. It just wasn't the person that, you know. And I honestly thought for a while that maybe God was going to have me do that because I saw this vision of this person that, you know, it scared me. I mean, how do you discern God's voice?
Well, let me first of all say that discerning the voice of God and recognizing the voice of the Lord seems to be in fashion right now. It's a fad, you know, from Bruce Almighty and Evan Almighty, Right. Those two movies. And then there's a book right now that has been on the bestseller list forever called Conversations with God. It's become a trilogy and has developed into even other resources. And so millions upon millions of people are interested in this topic of hearing God. What separates a lot of what we're seeing in the movies and a lot of what we're seeing in pop culture from really hearing the voice of the one true God is that scripture makes it clear that whatever fresh word we hear from God today, will be within the boundaries of the written word of God. And that one simple factor right there separates what we're learning out there from what we know to be absolutely true, that God does not speak to add to, take away, or manipulate in any way the scriptures. And in that way, we're able to hear God even more clearly, I think, than folks that don't have any parameters, because we know there are some boundaries, there's some guidelines. So that doesn't limit us. It helps us in hearing and knowing when what we are sensing God might be saying is indeed what God is saying.
That makes a lot of sense. Now, when you say the word hear God, I mean, is it in your mind an audible voice? Is it a still small voice? Hearing God, I can understand God's word from Scripture. But when people say, hey, God spoke to me and told me to fill in the blank, do you sense a God speaking directly to you?
Right. Hearing the voice of God begins with having a relationship with God. John 10:27, he says, my sheep are the ones who hear my voice. So you got to have a relationship with him. In that sense, when you become a believer, the Holy Spirit takes up residence in you. Now, I answer your question that way to say that don't we wish that we could have what Old Testament believers had? I mean, we look at the sea dividing, we look at donkey speaking, prophets and visions and dreams, and we're seeing all that. And we're like, God, you know, if I put a fleece out, could you please rain on it if I'm supposed to take this job, or not rain on it if I'm not supposed to take this job? And we desire that. And even though God can still use those means to speak, I believe that while we're wishing for what Old Testament believers had, they wish for what we have. The Holy Spirit, that is the indwelling, consistent, constant, never leaving, ever present God with them, so that they don't have to depend on anything external to hear the voice of God. So although I do know some people who claim to have had some experiences with an audible voice of God, I would suspect that is not most of our normal experience in hearing God. Rather, he's given us the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity, not third because he's less in value. All of God, the fullness, the greatness, the power of God actually lives in you if you're a believer. And so when someone says, when I say, let me just talk about myself, when I say that I'm hearing the voice of God, what I mean is that when I became a believer, the Holy Spirit took up residence in me. And immediately at that moment, Hebrews chapter 9 says that the Holy Spirit awakens your conscience from its spiritual slumber. You know, that conscience, your intuition, that little something inside of you that says for some reason this just doesn't feel good, or it does feel good to do something or not do something, and your mind can't figure it out. It's just this innate sense that you have. My mother used to say to me when I was growing up, Priscilla, if you're out with a bunch of friends and you just don't feel good about where you've ended up, you don't have to know why you don't feel good. Just call me. What she was saying to me is, Priscilla, as a human being, you have this conscience in you that helps to direct you. Well, before you're Christian, that conscience is separated from God, has no connection with God. But once the Holy Spirit comes in, he puts his hand on your conscience, awakens it from its spiritual slumber, and basically says, conscience, come and work with me. Let's together help this young man or young woman to begin to discern when I am leading them to do something. So if you're a believer and you have a strong sense internally that, just like your conscience before you were saved, that same leading that you felt before, well, now your conscience is still operating in you, but now your conscience has a different guide.
So you need to
the
be
Holy
in
Spirit.
So what you're saying is you need to be in touch with your conscience, because the Holy Spirit is working through your conscience a lot of times.
Absolutely.
And what you're saying, it's more of a prompting. It's not always audible.
No. I would say most often it's not going to be audible. You're not looking for that. What you're looking for is a deep inner peace or sense that there is a moving and a stirring in you to do or not do something. And then, of course, we always need to confirm what we sense that the Lord might be saying to us. We always have to confirm that, because our conscience, just like the rest of us, is not perfect. We're fallible humans. That means from now until eternity, we're going to make mistakes about this thing. And can I just tell you, that's one of the most refreshing things that I learned as I prepared for this book, Discerning the Voice of God. I got to interview lots of people who we admire so much. Everybody from Henry Blackaby to Max Lucado and Kay Arthur and everybody, and Tony Evans. And I asked them all, how do you know when the Lord is speaking to you? And I recorded their answers. And one of the best things that I heard them say, it was like a common denominator in their answers. They said, Priscilla, really, to be honest with you, the only way I ever know I got it 100% correct is after the fact, when I look back and see that what I sensed God was saying was indeed what happened. Well, that was refreshing to me to know that if they're not perfect, then I can't expect to be perfect at this. All I have to do is have a heart that wants and desires to know God's will, and he even graciously uses my errors to be my teacher in the future to how to discern
God's
will.
You know, we're going to take a break, but I want to get back to that because I sense a lot of people today who have a couple of kids like you do with husbands, wives, jobs, things going crazy, and they're saying, yes, silence. I remember that once. We were on vacation, you know, 2 years ago.
Yes.
Let's talk about how we find that silence. We'll come right back.
And today here on the Homeward Broadcast, we're having a conversation about that still small voice of the Holy Spirit. Parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns talking with author and speaker Priscilla Shire about recognizing when God speaks to you. And this is key for us as parents. It's key for us in the marriage relationship. If we're going to continue to grow healthy families, one of the things that we need to be listening to is being able to hear the still small voice of the Holy Spirit, in spite of the fact that the culture is screaming at us and telling us that we need to be doing these things and going these places and looking a certain way. One of the things that can happen as a result of this is, as a family, it's tough for mom and dad to really set the spiritual temperature in the home. And that's why Dr. Jim Burns has written a number of books. One of them is Faith Conversations for Families. Also, The 10 Building Blocks for a Solid Family has an entire chapter on how you can do a better job of being intentional about passing your faith on to your kids. For information on these or any of the other books Dr. Jim Burns has written, you can order them through homeward.com, and a portion of the proceeds goes to supporting our ministry as well. So check them out today at homeward.com.
I'm Jim Burns with today's Homeward Snapshot.
50% lower costs than originally budgeted. Furthermore,
Dad?
Our department has experienced tremendous growth in other... Yeah, Heather, market futures
Dad,
continue.
Dad, I was wondering if I could ask you a question.
No! I'm almost done with the last page of my report. You can't lock up on me now.
What's the matter, Daddy?
Oh, evidently this old computer of ours didn't like my report, so I'll have to reboot it and start all over again. Ugh. Now, what was it you wanted to ask me?
Well, Bill Davis just had a divine interruption. Thanks to the fact that his computer just froze, he now has the opportunity to stop working on his important project and start listening to his 14-year-old daughter ask for permission to start dating. As parents, we need to learn to identify teachable moments. For a copy of my free tip sheet called Identifying Teachable Moments, go to homeward.com. I'm Jim Burns. Welcome back. I'm Jim Burns, Priscilla Shire with us. We're talking about recognizing when God speaks to you and actually how to discern the voice of God. Is it possible? I mean, it is so confusing for many people. We were talking, Priscilla, right before the break about silence. You got to learn to listen to God and you've got to find silence. I think one of the biggest problems today is this overcommitted, underconnected pace of life which we're living that's just going crazy. And yet what you're saying is somehow you got to slow down and learn to be silent. And even teach your kids to be silent, or you're not going to hear this voice.
Absolutely. And would you know that with every new technological advance, I think the enemy just shakes his head in a little more approval because he's so glad there's something else to take our attention away. Right. You're not going to stumble upon 30 minutes of quiet time if you don't purpose to make that a part of your day. Now, listen, I've got a 2-year-old and a 4-year-old. That's not happening. Quiet ain't happening at my house, okay? But I have to start my week saying, okay, I know that on Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday morning, the kids are going to be at grandma's house. And so for 30 minutes of those hours that they're away, I'm going to purpose to sit in my bedroom, close the door, and just spend a few moments in prayer with God and just sitting there in the silence. You know, one of my favorite verses, Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. In the New Living Translation, it says, when you draw near to the house of God, keep your ears open and your mouth shut. He is in heaven, you are on earth, so let your words be few. I mean, it doesn't get any more clear than that. If you want to be connected to the Spirit of God that lives within you, and you want to sense what is it that He is prompting me to do, not what my feelings feel or my mind thinks, but I'm really kind of wanting to spend a few moments concentrating on what that deep inner sensing and compulsion, what is it that the Lord would have me do in this situation? Man, it takes pulling away from a lot of the stuff that you have going on. Now, I'm not saying it's easy, but I'm saying that it's worth it if you're serious about hearing God.
I mean, what you said in your book was that it takes discipline. You know, we have to learn to discipline ourselves, you know, through prayer, meditation, and worship. And it really is an act of discipline. Interesting enough that discipline and discipleship, same root.
That's good.
And in many ways, we have to just simply learn to discipline.
And the thing is, though, once you start hearing God, it will be less of a discipline and more of a joy. You will not wait until that next 30-minute block of time you get to sit down and really spend some time speaking with the Lord and allowing Him to speak
to you. That's very, very good. You've got something in your book that you call the 5 M's. And I really appreciated these things. I'd love for you to kind of walk us through a little bit of the, if you would, the 5 M's in terms of learning to discern God's voice.
Well, the 5 M's of hearing God, one that we've just talked about is look for the message of the Spirit. That takes time, that takes you sitting down and being quiet and stilling your sense yourself so that you can really discern what God is saying. And then remember I said our conscience is not perfect and we are fallible humans. So in order to confirm what you believe God might be saying to you, which I think is very, very important. The second thing I would say is search for the model of Scripture. And that means to make sure that what you are sensing God is saying, make sure that it does not contradict any of the themes that are presented in Scripture. You can't pull out one verse and say, well, this verse seems to speak to what I'm saying, so let me go with it. You got to make sure that what, you know, that the themes of God, the character of God is in no way being altered or manipulated if you go with what you sense God is saying to you.
So, let me stop right there for just a minute. I'm thinking about, you know, the person, you actually used this illustration. I'm thinking about the person who says, God, show me if I'm to marry this person if he asks me to the office party.
Yeah.
Now, that, the Scripture's not going to say a name of somebody. And so a lot of times when you get down to the basics, I mean, those are the kind of prayers people are praying.
Right.
Would you say that's an immature prayer in terms of how do you measure that with Scripture? Because Scripture really isn't talking about that.
Right. Well, I don't necessarily think it's an immature prayer because actually the 5th M is expect the mercy of confirmation, that God knows that that's what we want. He knows we want Him to do something externally to confirm what we think He's saying to us internally. And more often than not, God will allow our circumstances to begin to line up so that they point us in the direction of where it is that he would have us to go. I have a friend right now. She has been for 7 years praying about this one guy that she really believed that was her husband. They haven't even been in communication for these 7 years, but she met him in college, believed that he was the one for her. And after 7 years, began finally dating someone else. And then this guy that she'd been praying about shows up out of nowhere. And she just said to the Lord, Lord, if this is the person for me, then within these next couple months, Lord, would you cause this relationship that I'm currently in to kind of dissolve on its own? I don't want to manipulate it, God. So you cause it to kind of dissolve on its own. And then have this guy that I think is supposed to be my spouse basically come and ask me to marry him. And she prayed that prayer. And within 2 weeks, that's exactly what happened. It's exactly what happened. And so when things that concrete happen, now that there are chaotic things that might be happening in their marriage or in their relationship, she can always go back to that time when the Lord confirmed his word to her. And so I think that the mercy of confirmation is one of the M's of hearing God. When you say, God, cause another believer to say something to me that they could not have known that except you laid it on their heart. Or Lord, when I'm reading through the Scriptures, and that prayer request is kind of on the back burner, it's not really at the forefront anymore, but I'm reading through Scriptures and all of a sudden it's like the Holy Spirit has taken out a divine highlighter and he's caused a particular passage to leap up off the page. And for lack of a better word, it grips your heart. I mean, it just stirs you. The preacher's preaching and he says something and you feel like you want to fall out of the pew because you feel like he must have been in that argument with you and your spouse last night. Don't take those times lightly. That is when the Holy Spirit is confirming his word to you.
Yeah. No, that's a great one. Now, there's other M's. One was the mode of prayer.
Yeah,
live in the mode of prayer.
Yeah, live in the mode of prayer. And Paul said, pray without ceasing. And I used to think, yeah, right. You know, what kind of life did you have that you could pray without ceasing? You know, really, what I think he was talking about is cause prayer to not be an event in your day, but rather every time that you're compelled to worry about that particular problem, let that be your stirring, your catalyst, your cue that right then is a great time to pray. So live in the mode of prayer. And then the fourth one is one of my favorites. Submit to the ministry of Eli. And that means you remember the little boy Samuel in 1 Samuel chapter 3. He just didn't know that it was God calling him those three times. He didn't know. It took a wiser, more mature person in the faith, so to speak, to say to him, I think what you're hearing is God. And so I've got mentors in my life. I mean, I've got some women in my life that I call and I say to them, listen, I think this is what God might be asking me to do. Would you pray through this with me and just help me to discern whether or not what I'm thinking God is saying is indeed what God is saying.
And that's a great thing. I appreciate you so much saying you have mentors. Now, one of the phrases that we have at Homeward is, you know, one of the purposes of Homeward is to mentor parents. Parents mentor their children and the legacy of faith continues. And that's exactly what's happened in your life in many ways.
Absolutely.
Now, here you sit and Jerry sits right over there. You've got two sons. you will teach them these M's. What will you do and how will you teach them to learn to discern the Word of God? And partly you said, you know, your mom kind of gave you some advice, but how will you do this as time goes on? Obviously, when they're 2 and 4,
right,
you're going to do it in a different way than when they're 14 and 16.
Right. As best I can say, it's really from illustrations that I've gotten from parents that whose children are just a little bit older. Right now, at 2-year-old and 4-year-old, I'm just trying to make sure that they know that Jesus Christ loves them. He died on the cross for their sins, that they can have a relationship with God. That one principle right there is huge, that God is just not out there somewhere. I love John chapter 1, verse 14 in the Message Bible. He says, the Word became flesh, and Eugene Peterson in the Message Bible says, and he moved into the neighborhood. Mm-hmm. I just love that.
I love that too.
If our kids can get that God is not just out there in theory, but he wants to move into the neighborhood of your life and be a friend to you, talk to you, help you with the circumstances of your life. So that's my goal now, to get that inscribed on their heart. Other parents that I know that have children that are a little bit older, what I have seen them do, and I've thought this is so interesting, a friend of mine named Sharon has a 13-year-old. And when her 13-year-old is battling with a decision, she sits down with that 13-year-old and does not tell her what to do. Of course, she knows what would be the best option. But she talks through with the 13-year-old and says to her, what do you sense deep down? Let's just sit here for a moment and be quiet. Now, what do you feel deep down inside would be the thing that would make the Lord the most happy in this situation? And I see that little 13-year-old Morgan, my little friend, I see her sit there and really contemplate what would be the thing that would make God most pleased in that situation. So allowing a child, of course, in certain situations, there are others where you can't give them that freedom, you know, but in certain situations, allowing a child to actually kind of go through that process themselves, to be still and consider the voice of God in their lives. Many times I have seen Morgan discern that what she thinks that God would have her do goes directly against what she feels like she wants to do. But because she went through this process of separating what God would have her to do from her feelings in the situation, now she's being equipped and trained as to how to do this when she's in her 20s and 30s and 40s and so on.
It's great advice for Morgan. It's also great advice for us. Learn to discern the voice of God. We all want that. And I'm so grateful that you've written a wonderful book on it. And thanks for being with us. You'll have to come back real quick so we can keep talking.
I'd love it.
Okay, great.
And that concludes part one of Dr. Jim Burns' two-part conversation with author and speaker Priscilla Shire here on the Homeward Broadcast. Recognizing When God Speaks to You is the title of our message today. It'll be the title of the message on the next edition of the Homeward Broadcast. If you're podcasting with us, you already knew that. And you can start our podcast subscription today when you go to homeward.com if you're not there already. You just hit the podcast button. It'll redirect you to our site on iTunes. It makes it very, very easy for you to start that free subscription. And then you can get the podcast any way you want it delivered to your iPod or other MP3 device, and you can take Homeward with us or with you wherever you go, and we'd like to go with you wherever you go. Jim, a lot of folks are listening to this conversation. They're saying, okay, great, there's so many other voices competing for my attention. How do I recognize when God speaks to you? This isn't easy to do, but there is some hope here. Give us some hope as we conclude the program today.
You know, it's not easy, I think, to hear God's voice when we are bombarded by noise 24/7. In fact, somebody once said that noise is of the devil because you just can't then hear God's voice, and that may be true. Well, that's why I want to encourage you today to do everything you can to sometime shut off the noise and be quiet and listen to God. Don't let what I call attractive distractions wear you down. God created us to need times for rest and solitude and just quiet and peace. And you know what happens when you don't get enough rest or quiet or solitude? Well, we get tired, we get cranky, we get irritable, we get ugly. And at the same time, that happens with us spiritually too when we don't let our souls rest. You know, I had an experience once where I was actually in Hawaii. I know that makes our audience always kind of say, oh, great, he's, you know, going to tell a Hawaii story, but I love Hawaii. And I do, for some reason, sense hearing God's voice. Now, again, in California, it's not as far, and I'm a speaker, so I speak oftentimes in Hawaii, and that's how I get there. But it was with my family this time, and I was actually doing my PhD dissertation over there. And I told a number of people that I wanted to be quiet before God and hear God's voice. And again, I'm not one who hears the audible very often. And I sat on this rock often, and I would just kind of be quiet before God. And I constantly heard, in a still small voice or just an impression, that I was to mentor, and then I would hear names. Guys I was kind of already doing. I kept saying, well, God, what's the big thing? And then it dawned on me that in this quietness, because I was not as busy, I was hearing God's voice, and that it was my privilege and responsibility to spend some time with these men that God had been putting on my mind. And I think really it becomes intentional when we take time to be quiet, when we take the Sabbath. The Sabbath just simply means to rest. It's important for us to realize that that's where we're going to hear God's voice.
Amen to that. And if you're in a situation where you're finding yourself a little too busy to hear the voice of God, I hope you take those words from Dr. Jim Burns to heart. Practice the Sabbath and remember that it's important to take those quiet moments where you can just actually hear God speaking to you. Today on the Homeward Broadcast, our theme has been recognizing when God speaks to you, and we're grateful that you have invested 25 minutes or so here of your time to hear the voice of God speak to you and to improve qualities of your marriage and your parenting season and whatnot. We are able to bring this broadcast to you each and every weekday here on the radio and online because of your prayers and faithful financial support. And we're coming up on the end of our fiscal year here, and we appreciate hearing from you. You can give a gift online through our secure website at homeward.com. Or you can write to us with your gift of $100 or $200, $500 or more. And you can write to us at Homeward, Post Office Box 1600, that's 1600, San Juan Capistrano, California, where the swallows go, the zip code 92693. Now for Dr. Jim Burns, our engineer Ben Camp, and the rest of the staff, I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks so much for listening. Be sure to join us again next time right here for another edition of Homeward, where parents get real answers. Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.